And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon, serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and Southern Massachusetts since 1939, with a 5-star rated Superior service you deserve. Locally owned and operated for over 80 years, Superior Energy knows your community and unique needs. Receive personalized attention that goes above and beyond always. Call 800-242-0427 or visit propaneCT.com.
Good evening. Come on in, make yourself at home, and the Afterglow is where we meet. Time set aside just for you and I to be together to relax and de-stress from a busy work day. Hi, I'm Father John Gatzak, and I'll do my best to make this bit of time that we share worth money. Worth money? Well, yes. I'll save you medical expenses. Stress, you know, can be a killer. In the Afterglow is our opportunity to wind down the fast-paced motion and stress-filled emotion of the day and harness the energy of peace, love, and friendship that is offered to us in this portion of time that we share. Now, the sun has set, the world calms down, light makes its appearance on the other side of the globe, and night walks in to take up residence. Only the light of the moon keeps it all in check. Now, if you look close enough, after the sun sets, you'll see through the afterglow the presence of God's shadow reflected in the sky through colors cascading from the sun. It's the silent presence of a God who loves with an unparalleled love. Here is beauty, simple strength with immortal messages that speak of hope and life free of deviousness. So, come on, shake off some of the worries and the cares that have consumed your thoughts and robbed you of peace. Together, we make the journey beyond ourselves into the afterglow. In the Afterglow, I'm Father John, this is WJMJ, and I do thank you for spending some time with me. And maybe tonight, we'll walk together through the vast maze of life to find the answer as to how to be as free as the wind, free from stress and emotional distress. As long as we're together in the Afterglow, we're on the right path toward a stress-free evening of relaxation and reflection. Well, as we browse through the pages of history, we come across the birth anniversary of a man who is considered America's first famous athlete. John Sullivan was born in Roxbury, Massachusetts in 1858. He worked many odd jobs until one night he decided to see a stage show. A boxer was giving a sparring session when he challenged anyone in the crowd to take him on. Well, the crowd at the Opera House cheered Sullivan to participate in the fight, and he knocked the boxer out in less than 2 minutes. After his first fight, Sullivan decided he wanted to be a professional boxer, despite it being illegal at the time in many states. So he went around the country challenging people to matches and always won. His style was using his overpowering strength and natural fighting abilities to dominate his opponents. It is believed that he defeated over 400 challengers during his career and even fought people in Europe, which earned him the title of World Heavyweight Champion. He also is the only boxer to be considered the champ in both bare-knuckled and gloved boxing. Thanks to the success of John Sullivan, boxing became a mainstream sport, and he was its first celebrity. So in the Afterglow, we remember John Sullivan on his 163rd birth anniversary.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest.
was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, let him scare. Laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Lie-la-lie, asking only workmen's wages, I come looking for a job, but I get no offers. Just to come home from the wars on 7th Avenue. I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. La 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 la. Then I'm laying out my winter clothes and wishing I was gone, going home, where the New York City winters are bleeding me. And a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame, I am leaving, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains. Lie, la, lie, lie, la, lie, lie, lie.
That was Simon and Garfunkel with The Boxer, a classic song, and it's here in the Afterglow on WJMJ. I'm Father John. Thank you for joining me on this Friday evening. We journey now toward the intersection of where faith meets life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 says, "A gentle tongue brings healing." It's amazing what a few kind words can do. It's amazing the impact that you can have when you tell somebody, "Hey, everything will be all right. I believe in you. You've got good days up ahead." You see, you're the kind of person who doesn't give up, and I'll be there to help you succeed. Those words have healing power. But when somebody is rude to you, it's easy to respond the same way. Instead of judging that person, If you first step into his or her shoes, it will help you put on the right set of eyes, eyes of love, and not of judgment. Now, this doesn't mean you are excusing the person's behavior. What they are doing may be wrong. It may be their fault. They may have brought the trouble on themselves. But you know something? I've learned I'm not the judge. God is the judge. I'm not here to straighten everybody out. I'm here to help bring healing. Our job is to lift the fallen, to be a friend to the lonely, to encourage the discouraged. When you take this merciful approach, instead of giving them what they deserve, you start the healing process. You say, "I understand. They're not having a good day. I understand they're under a lot of stress. And I understand that life is not treating them very fairly at all. This world is full of people who need to be understood. We don't know what others are going through. We don't know the hurt or the pain that they have endured. They may be different and have hang-ups and do things that we wouldn't do, but that's okay. Give them a little room. If you took time to know their stories, you wouldn't be critical. If you would first attempt to walk in their shoes, you would find out why they are the way they are." One minister tells the story of a dancing man who attended church. This member of the congregation was in his 30s, and he was always dancing during the service. As soon as the music began, he'd be up on his feet, hands in the air, dancing without inhibition. Some of the young kids in the congregation would make fun of the dancing man. They just thought he was so odd. They would even look for him before the service and find out where to get a good view of him dancing. They'd do a play-by-play when the music started. There go his hands. Ah, there go his legs. They just couldn't understand why he was always so excited, why he was dancing. The minister, being the man that he was, called the dancing man up on the platform one Sunday and asked him to tell his story. And you can't believe the young ears were tuned in. Finally, they were to find out what made him so strange, why he danced all the time in church. Their attitudes and their perspectives changed as he spoke. He explained that he'd never known his father, and that his mother committed suicide at an early age. He'd grown up angry and bitter, with no direction and no purpose in his life. He'd always felt lost and alone until he had found this church, he said. In that church, he'd felt a sense of belonging for the first time. He felt loved and supported. That encouragement helped him to turn his life around. He found a good job and married a woman who loved him. This church gave him the foundation that his life had lacked, something he could build upon and draw strength from. "When I think about all God has done for me, I just can't be still. My arms go up in the air," he said. "When the music starts, my legs just go to dancing. I'm so happy, I've just got to give God praise." Well, when the young kids who had made fun of him heard his story, they felt about 2 inches tall. They never made fun of him again. They learned that when you imagine walking in somebody's shoes, when you hear their entire story, you gain a new and deeper perspective. And that's where faith meets life.
If I could be you, and you could be me, for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's mind. If you could see you through my eyes instead of your ego, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Hey, before you abuse, criticize and accuse. Walk a mile in my shoes. Now your whole world you see around you is just a reflection.
And the law of karma says you're gonna reap just what you sow. Yes, you. So unless you live the life of total perfection, you better be careful of every stone that you should throw. Yeah. And yet we spend the day throwing stones at one another. 'Cause I don't think or wear my hair the same way. Maybe common people, but I'm your brother. And when you strike out and try to hurt me, it's a hurting you. Lord have mercy. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Pay before you abuse, criticize and accuse. Walk a mile in my shoes. There are people on reservations and out in the ghettos. And brother there, but for the grace of God, go you and I. Yeah. And if I only had the wings of a little angel, why don't you know I'd fly to the top of a mountain?
Joe South with a great recommendation for some superb exercise. Walk a mile in my shoes here in the Afterglow. And this is your time. Time for you to relax and feel the comfort and the peace in knowing that life is good and you're in great hands. And today marks the 117th birth anniversary of Marty Mann. She was born in Chicago, Illinois in 1904 and was a social activist and author who founded the National Committee for Education on Alcoholism. Through her own struggles with alcoholism and some trips to Alcoholics Anonymous, she became inspired with the desire to eliminate the stigma and ignorance regarding alcoholism at the time and encouraged a disease model which viewed it as a medical and psychological problem and not a moral failing. Three ideas formed on the basis of her message. First, alcoholism is a disease and the alcoholic is a sick person. Second, the alcoholic can be helped and is worth helping. And third, alcoholism is a public health problem and therefore a public responsibility. It was these ideals that helped contribute to AA's growth, and she was included on the Edward R. Murrow's list of 10 greatest Americans in the 1950s. So tonight, in the Afterglow, we remember Marty Mann, a woman who would end up helping more people than she would know.
So you thought you had to keep this up, all the work that you do. So we think that you're good, and we can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you built up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. Where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you
all you fear. So you hide, but you find that the shame won't disappear. So let it fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. We're here.
Healing Begins. That was 10th Avenue North with some encouragement to get on with the healing. Now, remember where you are. You're here in the Afterglow on WJMJ. So, it's story time now in the Afterglow. And as stories go, this one says more than meets the surface. An early April snow had caught everyone by surprise in the mountains of Jerry's hometown. Flowers that had just popped out of the ground a week before were now drowning in a sea of white. It felt like someone had turned back the clock 2 months. Slowly, it grew warm enough for the snow to begin to melt in the late afternoon, but soon the temperatures dipped again as the cool evening air turned the melted snow into ice. Early the next morning, Jerry walked out to his cars. He needed to take his sons to school and then had a 30-mile round trip to make after that. He wondered which car to take. His little one had the better gas mileage, but the tires on his bigger one were less worn. Just as he took a step towards his little car, however, his foot slipped on a patch of black ice and his body hit the driveway. He got up slowly and smiled. "You don't have to tell me twice, God," he said, before heading over to start the car with the better tires. After dropping off his boys at school, he made the round trip safely. Jerry felt his car hit patches of black ice several times, but each time the tires gripped and adjusted well. He found himself laughing and grinning, even with his still sore left hip and shoulder. He was happy. He had followed God's advice, and he felt loved and watched over. You know, God's loving guidance comes in many ways. You can hear its gentle whisper in your heart. You can listen to it come out in the touching lyrics of a beautiful song. You can see it in the wise passage of a book. You can notice it in an overheard scrap of conversation. You can feel it in the quietness of nature. You can even get it when you fall to the pavement of your driveway. However it comes to you, don't turn away from it. Don't make God have to tell you twice. Listen to Him the first time. Trust Him and follow Him. He will take you to ever greater love, joy, and happiness. He will keep you safe and head you home. Something to think about.
I know there's something in the
Yes, we're here in the Afterglow in a relaxed atmosphere of peace and acceptance. That was Roxette with a song called Listen to Your Heart. I'm Father John. Thanks for keeping me company in the Afterglow. Don't leave me alone to sweat the darkness of the night. No. Keep me company as we relax together. And, you know, you deserve it. We'll try to make it happen for you throughout the evening right here on WJMJ as we bridge the gap between day and night and setting the pace for winding down the day on Catholic Radio, where faith meets life. Do you ever get tired of doing good? St. Paul tells us that we must not become tired of doing good. When we are mistreated, our animalistic response is to go on the hunt. Instinctively, we double up our fists. Getting even is only natural, which incidentally is precisely the problem. Revenge is natural, not spiritual. Getting even is the rule of the jungle. Giving love is the rule of the kingdom. To forgive someone is to admit our limitations. We've been given only one piece of life's jigsaw puzzle. Only God has the cover of the box. Now, turn on the light. You'll see better. I will live with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Those who saw Jesus really saw him, knew there was something different. At his touch, blind beggars saw. At his command, crippled legs walked. At his embrace, empty lives filled with vision. He fed thousands with one basket. He stilled a storm with one command. He raised the dead with one proclamation. He changed lives with one request.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances up your hair. A million colors of hazel, golden and red.
Night prayer is coming up, but first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Friday of the 28th week in Ordinary Time. Every hair on your head has been counted. There is no need to be afraid. You are worth more than hundreds of sparrows. 31 years ago today, the Polish Cardinal Karol Wojtyła became Pope John Paul II. The first encyclical that he issued set the tone for his message since. In Redemptor Hominis, he wrote, "Do not prepare destruction and extermination for men. Think of your brothers and sisters who are suffering hunger and misery. Respect each other's dignity and freedom." Jesus takes up a similar theme in today's gospel, as he addresses people who may be feeling their own lack of dignity and freedom. They must watch out for the Pharisees' hypocrisy, because it can turn them into spiritual slaves, he says. The Pharisees focused on whether people followed the prescribed rituals. They were interested in what people did, rather than in who they were. Jesus took the opposite view. He says, "You are of value whatever you do. You are worth much more than hundreds of sparrows. God cares for you so much that he knows exactly how many hairs are on your head." We may scorn the Pharisees today, but they are not far from each one of us. We also value people according to what they do. When we meet new people, we often ask, "What do you do?" Their work, their hobbies, or their involvement in the church gives them, to us, identity and status. Jesus implies that such an attitude enslaves people. It focuses on the wrong things and actually robs people of part of their humanity. God doesn't see us as units of production to be costed into the divine budget. He doesn't see us as human resources to be shifted around the church according to market needs. He sees us as unique individuals who exist primarily to know and honor him. How we do that is secondary. So let's celebrate his loving acceptance of us as we are. It alone gives us a sure basis for serving him. And let's learn to accept one another simply as people made in his image and redeemed through the death and resurrection of his Son.
You're the bravest of hearts, you're the strongest of souls. You're my light in the dark, you're the place I call home. Say it's all right, but I know that you're breaking up inside. I see it in your eyes.